The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. I'm walking with Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, He is the light, in Him is no darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with Him.
The night may be dark, but why fear the darkness? I'm walking with Jesus, the light of the world. Yes, Christ is my guide. He walks by my side. Though sorrow abounds and darkness around, in Him I'll confide. The darker the
night, the brighter the light shines.
Walking
with the light of the world.
He is the light,
in Him is no darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with Him. The outlook is dark, but bright is the outlook. I lift my eyes upward, and there is the light. He says, don't despair, cast on me your care. The voices of night just can't stand the light when Jesus is there. The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with Him.
The darker the night, the brighter the light, when I walk with Him. There's a light that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness He cries, it is finished, the battle is over, it is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished. it is finished, and Jesus is Lord. Yet in my heart the battle was raging. I didn't know.
I'm so sorry. Can we start that verse again, please?
Yet in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. They were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all those battles for me, and that victory was mine for the
Scott. I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 7. So that's the first book in what we call the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew and chapter 7. Man, Brother Griffin just really helped me out. You know, I've been preaching messages before and I lose my place in the middle of the message. So now I can know. I just go ahead and start over again. Amen. So I'll just, if I get halfway through, I'll just start over. All right. You better pray I don't lose my train of thought. Oh, I love it, Brother Scott. Thank you for saying it. Spur of the moment, I just called him this morning, said, hey, would you do this for us? And so thank you so much. Matthew chapter 7, if you're able, out of honor and respect to the Word of God, please stand with me. I'm going to read two verses. Find verse 13 and follow along. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Listen carefully and we'll be into the Scripture here, verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus. If you have what's called a red letter Bible, then you have these words in red ink. How many of you have a Bible like that? You got a red letter Bible. That's a lot of people. Now, those words are not more important than any other word in the Bible. It's just designating that those words came from the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself. Okay? That's what that means. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So I want to speak this morning on this subject. It all starts at the gate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to have this service today. The good music has helped me and been a blessing to my heart, and I hope to others as well. Spirit of God, your presence is necessary. It's vital. Without you, we can do nothing. I give myself to you. I ask you to control my thoughts, my words. I ask you to control, Lord, this service. Holy Spirit, would you keep distractions to a minimum? I pray that we could just sit still through the next 30, 35 minutes and that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. Thank you for the book of God. Help us from it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. This passage is from what we know as probably the most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached when he was on the earth, okay, in his public ministry. I don't know that it's any more important than any other sermon that Jesus preached, but it is his most famous. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in chapter 5 and ends in chapter 7 in the book of Matthew, and it's also mentioned in some of the other Gospels as well. Now, if you were going on a trip to a far distant destination, the normal or common thing that most people do nowadays is check an app on their phone or their tablet for the best route to take. I've done that before. I've done the fastest route and that type of thing if there's a lot of traffic, especially coming home from Elgin on Thursday afternoon. Normally, the best route to take is the one that uses the interstate system. The best roads, you know, they're carefully maintained. They've got the rest areas along the way where you can pull over and catch a little nap if you need to. Gas stations with fast food restaurants dot the route. If you have vehicle trouble, it's a little easier possibly to get help on the interstates. So that's the most traveled route. Unless you have unlimited time and you're particularly interested in sightseeing or maybe visiting a remote historical place, normally you take the wide and broad way when you travel to your destination. Now, Jesus is speaking here in this message about traveling. And he's talking about a destination. But the destination is not some temporary stop. The destination is a person's final stop. He's talking about eternity in these two verses. And he says in verse number 13, the way he speaks about in verse 13 leads to destruction. The way he speaks about in verse 14 leads to life. And what Jesus is talking about here is eternal destruction or eternal life. Now, some people are of the belief that we go through this life and eventually we die and that's it. Man comes to the end of his existence. It's over. Nothing remains but their memory, and in time, even the memory of that person vanishes. But the Bible teaches something quite different. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, and I've written these verses down so we don't have to take the time to turn there. This is what the book says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Mankind understands that death is waiting. You ask the average person, average person all over the world, and you'll say, ask him, what happens at the end of your life? And they'll say, I'll die. That's universally accepted, okay? So I don't think that really, you sometimes wonder how that's going to happen. Maybe people don't want to die a certain type death. But they know that at the end of life is death. I don't think that shakes people up. I think what makes people a little nervous is what the Bible says, but after this. Whoa. Wait a minute. You mean there is something beyond this existence? And there is. Okay? After death, there is more than just physical death. Job asked the question in the book of Job, if a man die, shall he live again? The answer is yes. A man shall live again after he dies. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that, you know, that's what makes people nervous is the but after this, death is certain. I overlooked a little story I was going to tell you. I was up at Elgin Thursday to teach college, and then at 11 o'clock they had the funeral service for Mrs. Walker, my son-in-law's mother, who went to heaven a week ago Saturday. And so, of course, we attended it. And we were at the cemetery where her body was laid to rest, and the cemetery, the service was over, the graveside service had ended. And I was talking to Brother Oswardy, Brother Don Oswardy, many of you know him. And Brother Don was telling me, as we were walking back to the cars, he said, do you remember, and he called the name of a college student that was in school, I think when I was a senior, this man was a freshman, I believe. So I didn't know him real well, but the name I remembered. And he said, I was in school with him, Brother Don Oswardy. He said, he and I were classmates. He said, a couple days ago, he was jumping on a pogo stick with his grandchildren, lost his balance, fell over, hit his head, and passed away. You say, man, that is just different. That is, I mean, a pogo stick? And you know what I said to Brother Don? I said two words. I said, appointed time. Amen. Appointed time. We're trying to minimize the distractions this morning, but we got one going on, so let's settle it and then we can move on. Marilyn McAdoo. Okay, Marilyn, if you could come. Brother John might need some help out there. Thank you. All right, very good. And I appreciate this family coming right here. Her birthday's coming up. I wrote on her birthday card this morning that I appreciate the effort that she and John make to get here to church. John is very diabetic, and that may be the trouble he's having right now. Is he having trouble with his diabetes, Joe? All right, let's stop right now and have prayer for John, okay? Father, I thank you for John and Marilyn. I thank you for the effort they make to come to church here. I pray that you'll bless Brother John. Help him right now, and God be with him. Touch him, I pray. Bless Marilyn. Thank you for her faithfulness to her husband. In Jesus' name, amen. Appointed time. When you hear of people dying of the strangest of ways, folks, appointed time. Appointed time. The Bible talks about that. I said earlier, in Job chapter 14, verse 14, he asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And the answer to that question is yes. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2 says this, those that sleep in the dust of the earth. What's that talking about? They died and were buried. Those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. What's that talking about? That's talking about the resurrection. So he's talking about those that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. They'll be resurrected. Some, now listen to this, to everlasting life. Some to everlasting shame and contempt. That doesn't sound like the same to me. That is not the same. All people are going to live eternally. Because we are not like animals. We are living souls. The big difference. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Watch it. And man became a living soul. That's not said about the cattle. That's not said about the fish. That's not said about the birds of the air. That is said about mankind. So man is a living soul. And you cannot kill a soul. A soul is eternal. You can kill the body. But the soul is going to live on and on and on and on and on. And I could stand up here for 5 or 6 hours and keep repeating that phrase and on and on and on. And it still wouldn't be as long as the soul is going to live. The soul is going to live eternally. Now that's what Jesus is speaking about. He's talking about eternal destruction. As opposed to eternal life. This is not a temporary stop. This is our last stop. Last stop. Now, let me say two or three things about this morning. We'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice that the destinations are different. Destruction and life are not the same. These are two different destinations. Distinctly different. The destinations have a name. We find that name all throughout the Bible. The destination that speaks of life is heaven. The destination that speaks of destruction is hell. These are real. These are distinctly different. Heaven is eternal light. Hell is eternal darkness. Heaven is eternal rest. Hell is eternal unrest. Heaven is eternal comfort. Hell is eternal torment. Heaven is eternal singing. Hell is eternal screaming. Heaven is eternal peace. Hell is eternal discord. Heaven is eternal love. Hell is eternal hate. Folks, we're talking about two distinct places. Different places. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told another story, not a make-believe story, a real story about two real men who really died. And when those men died, they went to different destinations. The Bible says that Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. And Abraham told the rich man, Lazarus is comforted, you are tormented. Those are two different places. You say, well, I just don't believe that. You know, I am sorry. And I'm really sorry. I'm not being facetious. I'm sincere. I'm sorry. Just because you don't believe it does not mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean it's going away. It doesn't mean it's not real. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable in a church that talks about a place called hell. Well, folks, we can be uncomfortable or comfortable. It's not going to change the reality of that place. You ought to be glad there's a church that talks about the truth. Be happy. Don't you want the truth? To be absent from the body is to be in a different place. Two different places. Two different destinations. It won't be 3 seconds after you die and you will believe in heaven and hell, folks. And one more difference between heaven and hell. Heaven is eternal God. Hell is eternal devil. Whew. You talk about different company? Years ago, I've told this story, so some of you that come here all the time, you'll remember this. We had a shut-in lady. When I came to pastor the church, there was a lady who was shut in. She was physically unable to come to church, so I'd go see her once in a while. And lived off of Court, lived off of Highway 17 down there. And she lived with her grandson. Grandson worked over here at CSL Bearing. It was something different back in those days. It's been several different things over the years. But thank God it's still here. And I would witness to him. I would say to him, I'd call his name. I'd say, hey, don't you want to make sure that when you leave this world, you're going to heaven? And he would just put it off. He never wanted to talk about it. The shut-in lady died, and I had her funeral. It was different. We had a visitation from like 2 to 4 at the funeral home, and then there was a gap of time, and then we had the service at like 7 o'clock that night. So the people came through to visit, you know, and pay their respects and everything. And when the visitation time ended, a little after 4 o'clock, I was standing in the funeral home with that grandson. It was just he and I together, his grandmother's body in the casket. And I called his name and I said, look, don't you think it's time that you settled the question about your eternal destiny? I never forget what he said. He said, oh, listen, when I die, I'm going to go to hell, have a party with my friends. And before I could catch myself, I responded by saying, you just showed how ignorant you are about hell. Now, not ignorant in the way of stupid. Ignorant in the way of not knowing. I said, sir, there will be no parties in hell. And you will not know your friends in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. So we're talking, folks, about two different destinations here. And this is not me. This is Jesus. Jesus said that there is a way which leads to destruction. There is a way that leads to life. That's two different destinations. Look, San Francisco and Washington, D.C. are not the same. Those are two different destinations. Okay? Heaven and hell are different destinations. Now, number two, I want you to notice in this same text that Jesus said the ways are different. The ways are different. In verses 13 and 14, he described that these two ways are not the same. One way is broad. It's wide. The other way is narrow. Okay? That's what Jesus said. The broad way is the way that's the most popular way. It's the narrow way is the way that's the least popular. The broad way is the way that most people go. The narrow is the way that the least people go. The broad way, the heavily traveled popular way, leads to eternal destruction in hell. The narrow way, the least traveled, unpopular way, leads to eternal life in heaven. Now, folks, those are two different ways. They're not the same. That's quite different from most people's opinion. They believe that it doesn't matter what way you travel, we are all going to end up in the same place. How many times have I been told that? Trying to talk with somebody at their house or just in private conversation about their eternal destiny of their soul. Oh, Pastor, look, All religions are good, and everybody's different, but we're all traveling the same road, and we're all headed to the same place. And you know what, folks? That sounds so nice. And that sounds so comforting. And that sounds so kind. And that sounds so universally sweet. Take any way you want. We're all the only problem with that is it contradicts what Christ said. Do you have any respect for what Jesus said? Any respect for the Son of God? Because that's not what Jesus said. And I'm not preaching to you Baptist creed. I'm preaching to you Bible truth. That's what Christ said. This idea that all roads lead, the narrow way is the way of the Bible. And simply put, fewer people submit themselves to the truth of the Bible. Fewer people. Most people decide, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to go with what I believe. I'm going to go with what I've been taught. Where have you been taught from? We're talking about Christ here. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the eternal words of God. Look, that sounds real nice. Destruction and life are not the same. One way leads to destruction. One way leads to life. You can't take the broad and popular way and end up at life. The ways are different. Now, the destinations are different. The ways are different. Number three, the gates are different. The gates are different. In the same two verses, Jesus talks about one of the gates being wide, and He talks about one of the gates being straight. Now, that doesn't mean straight as in like a straight line. Look at how it's spelled. S-T-R-A-I-T. That's talking about narrow. It's narrow. Wide is the gate that leads to the broad way. Narrow is the gate, or straight is the gate that leads to the narrow way. So, at the beginning of each way is a gate. At the end of each way is a destination. The gate, the way, and the destination are all different from each other. The gates are different, the ways are different, and the destinations are different. The broad way has a wide gate. Most people go that way and end up in destruction. The narrow way has a straight gate. Few people go that way and they end up in eternal life. Now, you say, Pastor, why is the gate and the way to life called narrow? Why is the gate and the way to life called straight? Why do few people go that way, through that gate? Because the gate and the way are one person and one person only, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these scriptures. This is the Word of God. Listen to it. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, please give me your attention. I am the door. Is that simple? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. Then in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. Hey, folks, it all starts at the gate. Everything that you need for eternal life in heaven is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus. You go through the right gate and the right door, it puts you on the right way, and the right way leads you to the right destination. I don't think there's anybody in this room who would say what that man said to me some 20 years ago when he said, I'm going to go to hell and party with my friends. I don't think you're that way. I don't think you being in church this morning, your being here, whether you're here all the time or here as a guest, your being here says you do not want to spend eternity in hell. I've only been told that by one person. That was that man. In all these years. You want to end up at the right destination, you've got to go through the right gate. The gate, the way, the destination is all Jesus. You said, now wait a minute. I get that the gate is Jesus. He said, I am the door. I get that the way is Jesus. He said, I am the way. How do you know the destination is all wrapped up in Jesus? Because 1 John 5:11 says this, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. It doesn't take a dictionary to learn how the word eternal. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Listen, and this life, this eternal life is in His Son. Uppercase S. S-O-N. Not one of you and me. His Son, Jesus Christ. So eternal life is in Jesus. That's why I say the whole thing revolves around Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way. He is the life. It all starts with Christ. Your eternal destiny in heaven all starts with Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? S-O-N, capital S, uppercase. If you have Jesus, you've got the gate, you've got the way, you've got the life, you've got everything you need for eternal life in heaven. It's all Jesus. And the Bible goes on to say, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it all starts with Jesus. It all ends with Jesus. If you don't have Christ, you haven't gone through the right gate, you're not on the right way, and you're headed to the wrong destination. And folks, it's all Christ. The door, the gate to the right way is not Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and being good. It's not His death, burial, resurrection, and getting baptized. Although, if you believe, you should get baptized. It's just simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. The door, the gate, the way, the destination, the life, is Jesus. And remember what I said earlier. Heaven is light. Heaven is rest. Heaven is comfort. Heaven is singing. Heaven is peace. Heaven is love. Heaven is Jesus. That's where it is. There are two verses in the book of Proverbs that are the same. They're found in chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 16, verse number 25. Listen carefully. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So is it possible to be on the wrong way, headed to the wrong destination, and it seem okay? There is a way. We're saying, yeah, Pastor Angel, I get it. You know, I don't have a beef with the Bible, but you know what? No, I just don't. I think I'm okay. No, Pastor, you know, I'm in a Baptist church, so, you know, it's kind of your Baptist belief. So I'm okay. This seems right to me. There's a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know how you avoid the wrong way and the wrong destination? You start at the right gate. You start at the right door. Who's the door? Christ. Some years ago when we lived in Iowa, we were traveling to Atlanta to visit Dad and Mom, who were living there at the time, probably Christmas season. We had the service in the morning at Marion Avenue. Joyce and I and whoever kids were there, we took off and we were going to stop at church, you know, stop somewhere for church. It was a 15-hour drive from out there to Atlanta in those days. And so we stopped for church. Of course, that time of the year, December, it gets dark early. We'll be there in a couple of weeks. Actually, next week, won't we? And so we jumped in the van and said, let's travel. Let's go a little bit further before we stop for the night. And the church we had visited was a little bit off of the main way. And so we just started out and, you know, had a map. And I thought, you know, well, if we just go east and south, we're headed toward Atlanta. If we just go east and south, you know, trying to follow a map of this country road. So we're driving, I'm turning, you know, it seems like everything's going right, you know. All of a sudden, there's this is straight road, broad. And there's little red blinking lights on the road. And I'm thinking, where in the world, what are we? So I don't know how it happened. But somehow I ended up on a rural airport runway. Somewhere here in Illinois, I think. I think it was somewhere down in Illinois, seriously. We had gone to church just across the Mississippi in Missouri, and we'd come across the bridge there, and we were headed that, you know, south and east. That seems right. And we're on the runway, and the lights are blinking. I don't even know how you do that. Needless to say, we made a very quick exit off of that airport runway. Now, that's a funny story. I've told it a few times. Everything seemed right. We were headed the wrong way. Now listen. Where are you headed? Because we're not talking about making a mistake traveling to some place where you back up and turn around and get back on the right road. We're talking about your last stop. This is it. And I'm not even the one talking about it. Jesus is talking about it. You know what Jesus is saying here? Please come through the right gate. Please come through the right door. Please come through me. Please come through me. It's the only way. I am the gate. I'm the way. I'm the life. It's all in me. It's all in me. Now, here's a simple question. It's a fair question. Where's your last stop? Where's your last stop? Have you thought about it? Have you given any thought to it, life? I was 18 before I came to grips with, man, where's my last stop? And I came to Christ. I started at the right gate. Okay? And the Bible tells me, since I started at the right gate, I'm going to the right destination. So where to God? Are you really going to argue against God? Okay? It all starts at the gate. All starts at the gate. Where's your last stop? Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. It's a little bit stuffy in here. At least I feel like it is. And I'm not sure if the fans are not on, but I apologize if they're not. And if you're a little stuffy, I apologize for that this morning. But I appreciate your attention. And I would ask that you just give me your attention. Even though your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just give me your attention for a moment. So just hear me out for a second. Who would say this morning, Pastor, I know where my last stop is. I'm confident. I'm assured of it. Without a doubt, I know that my last stop is heaven. I know that. Let me just ask you to be honest, okay? It's always best to be honest. You know, honesty is not just the best policy. It's the only policy. So let's just be honest. Pastor, I know my last stop is heaven. I know that. If that's you this morning, you can honestly say that. Would you just lift your hand? And nobody's looking. I'm just kind of glancing around. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Take your hands down. Appreciate it. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, you were honest. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your honesty. Hey, listen, you came this morning. You've been sitting here for the last hour. You don't know where your last stop is. Wouldn't you like to know that your last stop is heaven? Doesn't that sound appealing? And when it's all said and done, your last stop is light and comfort and singing and love and peace and rest and Jesus. Wow. As opposed to the other. So here's what I want to ask. Okay, I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. That's not my concern this morning. Jesus wants you to start at the right gate. If you're not sure where your last stop is, you were honest a moment ago, you did not raise your hand. If you're not sure, because you didn't raise your hand a moment ago, would you raise it now? Just put it up in the air where I can see it, take it right back down. Pastor, I don't know where my last stop is. All right, God bless you. Is there another? I don't know where my last stop is. I don't know. You're honest, you didn't raise your hand, you'd raise it now. Pastor, I don't know where my last stop is. I'm not sure that my last stop is heaven. Anybody else? If you're not sure, in just a moment, we're going to have the music play. Somebody's going to sing a song. And what happens is you leave your seat, come down the aisle. Brother Bragg is here, and I'll be down here as well. I can be down there. And if you're not sure where you're going when you die, if you're not sure your last stop is heaven, then I want you to do what Jesus said. Man, come to the right gate. Come to Christ this morning. You can leave here knowing for sure that your last stop forever and ever is heaven. And if you've already been saved, and you know that, if you've not followed the Lord in believers' baptism, then why don't you come and do that this morning, obedience to Christ. But the bigger issue is starting at the right gate. So if you're not sure that you're saved, would you come? When the music starts, okay? Other folks may be coming to pray, that's wonderful, but you just make your way to the front and say, look, I'm not sure where my last stop is. Just be honest with God. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll take the message, take your word. May the Spirit of God get the victory in hearts this morning. I trust you, O Lord God, please, to do the work that I cannot do. Draw men to Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way, the gate, the way, and the destination. You are the door, the way, and the life. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for dying for us, going to the grave and coming out again so that we could be saved. May the Spirit of God draw people to Jesus this morning is my prayer. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And as we stand, our song is going to begin. If you're not sure you're saved, would you please make your way right now? Not to the aisle. Let somebody talk to you about salvation. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? Would you come? You're not sure that you're saved. Please, if you have a loved one or a friend you'd like to pray for this morning, would you come? Would you come? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Not sure I'm on the right road. Not sure that my destination is settled.
He will save you.
I don't want to leave this morning with that unsettled. It starts at the gate. That's where it all starts. Jesus is the door.
His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow.
While we wait this morning, would you come?
Into the crimson.
Coming means somebody takes a Bible and sits down with you and shows you from the Word of God how you can start with the right gate, Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning?
Only trust Him.
Maybe you're uneasy. You say, how do I know if God's speaking to my heart? Well, you're uneasy. Your heart's pounding. I sat there. I was like that. 44 years ago, I sat in a service like this when my heart pounded. I didn't know for sure. I'm so glad I came and let Jesus use somebody to show me about salvation. Would you come? Some have come to pray. One is being talked to right now. Would you join them, please? This morning? I just beg you. Only trust Him is the song that's being sung. Only trust Him.
Only trust Him now.
While we wait.
He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.
Just the piano played quietly. Some still pray. Would you come this morning? There's still time for you to come. If you're not sure that you're on that right road, coming through that right gate that leads to that destination called heaven, would you please come? Somebody will take the Word of God and show you how to be saved this morning. Greatest day of your life.
starting at the right gate. Trust Him. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll please take the message this morning and use it in hearts. Lord, I don't know the condition of anybody's heart in this room except for my own. Lord, I'm thankful for the day that You spoke to me and I came and I found the right gate, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the right way and thank You for that wonderful destination called heaven. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning uncertain about their eternal destiny, not sure where that final stop is, I pray that You'll please speak to their heart, even later today or this week, and bring them, I pray, to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank You for it. Lord, I pray that You'll bless the ones being talked to and in the other services as well. In Jesus' name, amen.